Your Bibles today, we want you to turn with us quickly today so that we can utilize the time this morning. And we'd like for you to turn with us to the book of James chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading today from the second verse of James chapter 1. James 1. Verse 2 and continuing through verse 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That the Bible assures us that the trying of our faith is not for our destruction, but the trying of our faith is for our benefit. The trying of our faith is so that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Pastor Grissom, would you pray and ask God's
Lord
blessing?
Jesus, we're so grateful for your word today. It is bread for us to eat. It is light for our path. It is a key to our lives. The treasure of God in our hearts. So feed us today. Lord Jesus, show us the treasure that we have for us today. Want your messenger, give us ears to hear, courage to obey. Pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated today. I want to preach to you today on the trying of your faith. That God allows all of us to go through times of trial and testing to prove our faith, to perfect us in the ways of God. Testing as a way of developing patience in us. There are some things that cannot be attained easily or speedily, but it's accomplished over a course of time. Now we know that when we are born into the kingdom of God, that we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things are passed away and all things become new. That new birth, that transformation of character, that change of direction is both immediate and it is miraculous. That only God can produce a new you. Only God can cause you to be born again and cause you to become what you were not. He can change us and shape us in His likeness. And while salvation is something that takes place instantly and miraculously, the development of our faith and the development of character and the perfecting of our heart and the sanctification that takes place in our life is something that requires a lifetime. That we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That when we come to God, there is a sanctification that is immediately transferred to us. We're not saved by our own righteousness, but we're saved by the righteousness of God. And so there is an immediate transfer of the righteousness of God upon us when we are born into the family of God. But we have to develop over the course of a life in order to mirror the characteristics of God, that to truly develop and to be sanctified and to become complete and mature is a process. And so our development and our reflection of Jesus Christ is something that becomes more apparent as we allow the Holy Ghost to develop us and to lead us and to guide us. And so we're striving for perfection. We've not yet attained unto the fullness of the stature of Christ. Now, it's true that when we become a child of God, that people immediately identify that we have been with Jesus. That there is an immediate recognition that something miraculous has taken place. But what is apparent to others and what we reflect upon our initial conversion is somewhat incomplete, because we have to grow in the knowledge and in the wisdom and in the grace of God. And if we don't grow in wisdom and knowledge and in the ways of God over the course of time, we will divert back. We will revert back, I should say, to that former lifestyle. And we will begin to reflect something other than the righteousness of God. And so it's important that we are tried and that we are tested, that we might be perfected in the things of God. We must be tried in the fire of affliction and testing and trial, that we might come forth in the image of God. Amen. That we are striving to be like Jesus. Jesus said, "Be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect." And so the striving for perfection is a lifelong ambition. It is a lifetime goal. It is something that we are pressing toward. The Apostle Paul said, "I press toward the high calling of Jesus Christ." And so we're reaching unto something that is higher than we are. We recognize that we are not complete in ourselves, but we can only be complete in the grace and in the Spirit of our God. That there are many things that test us over the course of time. One thing that we will be tested, and one area that we will be tested, is in the area of our faith. Amen. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Jesus told His disciples, amen, He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And Jesus told them how important it was to develop faith. He said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done." And so that we must strive for faith. That faith is something that we must yearn for, that God might increase our faith. I believe that all of us ought to strive that we might have greater faith, that we might be able to trust God more with the things of life, that we should not lean upon our flesh. Because it is so easy to lean upon our own ability and to lean upon our own understanding and our own knowledge and to trust in ourselves. But the Bible teaches us that we're to trust in God and that we should increase in faith, that we should nurture faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so our faith is going to be tested. That we are going to be challenged by situations in life. Amen. That cause us to look at ourselves as God sees us, and to examine our heart, amen, to see if there's any deficiency there. David said, "Search me, O God, and know me." There's something about the Word of God, and it plays ourself open, and it reveals God's deficiencies. It reveals our shortcomings. It reveals how that we fail in so many areas. The Word of God reveals the same. The Word of God to trust in the Word of God. Our faith is going to hide. The faith is a sign. The things not seen. We do not hope that we see not to. Have that already, but have faith for things that we do not possess. We have faith for those things that we have not embraced. Amen. We've that has not come to pass, but that is promised to us in the Word of God. And so our faith is constantly on trial because we haven't received everything that God promised us in His Word. We have not embraced everything that God would give to us. But there are many things today that we're challenged by and that we long for and that we anticipate that we wish in God for, that our faith, amen, might be in God, not of us. The Bible teaches us the amen of steadfastness, to not waver in your faith. Amen. The Bible tells us that we must ask, first book of James, let us ask in faith, nothing wavering. We must not, amen, we must not vacillate. We must not begin to doubt the things of God. Amen. Because if we waver in our faith, the Bible says that he that wavereth is like sea driven and tossed. Some people are so easily discouraged. People are so easily turned aside from the excellency of God. So easily distracted and following some other rather than the course that God has laid before them. But we are the children of God. We that are children of destiny. We are called higher kingdom. We must not waver. We must not doubt. We stumble from God. But we must embrace Him by faith. If we are going to know the completeness of the promises of God. For our God is a faithful God. The Bible says in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, that we must not doubt the faithfulness of God. For our God is faithful that promised. Amen. The Bible says, for that man, let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. If we waver in our faith, if we waver in our confidence, amen, we should not think that we should receive anything of the Lord. For the Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We must not divide our faith. We must not divide our loyalty. We must not divide our commitment. We must not divide ourselves betwixt the world and God, but we must with singleness of heart and steadfastness and determination, we must press for the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Our faith is going to be tested. God doesn't always answer our prayers immediately. God doesn't always answer as we would expect Him to answer us, but God is faithful and He will perform that He's promised. My Bible tells me that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. If we will remember the calling wherewith we are called and the purpose for which God has called us, God will never allow us to forfeit our salvation. God will never allow us to squander the opportunities that are set before us without first giving us opportunity to defeat the foes that come against us. For our God is greater than our foes. Greater is He that's within you than he that is within the world. We just have to learn to tap that inner resource that God has placed in us. When we have exhausted our strength, then we learn to lean on His strength. When we run out of answers, amen, I'm glad I know the one who has the answer. Amen. When I don't have an explanation, I'm glad that the wisdom and the knowledge of God, amen, exceeds the wisdom of this world. And He has an answer. He has a solution for the problems of life. Hallelujah. And then we are going to be tried. God is going to test our humility. Amen. God is going to test, amen, how much that we really put our faith and confidence in Him. The Bible says that we must humble ourselves. He that would be greatest in the kingdom of God must become a servant. John said, I must decrease and He must increase. If you want God to increase your faith, if you want God to increase your blessing, if you want God to increase in our life, you've got to learn to accept the fact that we're nothing, that everything is of the Lord, that our sufficiency is not of ourselves. God is going to test our humility. We've got to humble ourselves before the Lord. Amen. We've got to come before Him and acknowledge His lordship in our life. Amen. We must bow down to His authority. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of everything, that He's not the Lord of your life, you've got to surrender everything to God. You've got to put everything and entrust it to His care. Amen. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. You're going to be tested to see how that you measure up in the eyes of God. Amen. The Bible says, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. When we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we always come up short. We always recognize that we're nothing when we look at Jesus Christ. He'll test us. Our humility is going to be tested. But if you humble yourself before God, will in due season, if you are humble before God, He will bless you with the blessing of His, because He's a faithful God. Talking about the trying of your faith, the desire of perfection and sanctification, and you're going to be tested in your faith. You're going to be tested how much, how long that you will guard upon the Lord their strength. The Bible says that we're to endure what? Hardness. Amen. Without ceasing. That we are to have faith and look earnestly. That we are to look diligently. He's coming back for a people that's looking for His appearing. We've got to be able to endure. The Bible says, He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be what? The same shall be saved. And so your endurance is going to be tested. One thing I found out is my endurance, it's not what it used to be. That as a young man, there was a lot of things that I could do and not grow weary, not grow tired. But as a 56-year-old man, that my endurance is put to the test over and over again. It was hard to get up out of bed this morning because my endurance had been tested on the basketball court. And I found out that playing basketball when you're 16 is a lot different than when you're 56. Your endurance is going to be tested. Amen. Just as we're tested in the physical realm, that we've got to exercise ourselves in the things of God. And so it's necessary that we go through some trials. It's necessary that we walk through some valleys. It's necessary that we fight some battles. It's necessary that we face opposition, because we are in a race of endurance. And he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. The Bible says, ye shall reap if you what? If you, that's right, we've got to sow. But we've also, we've got to what? Faint not. We've got to endure. We can't grow weary. It's so easy to get tired of serving. It's so easy to get weary. Amen. With just life. Amen. Life is so continual. Life is so every day. And so we've got to learn to endure. We're going to be tested in our endurance. We've got to learn to live for God one day at a time. If you can live for God right now, you can live for God tomorrow. And if you can live for God tomorrow, you can live for God the next day. It's one day at a time. That one day at a time we walk with the Lord. And He is faithful to provide us exactly what we need. Then there's the test of temptation, that we're going to be tempted by evil. We're going to be tempted. Amen. Now, God doesn't tempt any man. Neither is He tempted by evil, the Bible says. But we're flesh, and so we're going to be tempted. We're going to be challenged. There are going to be temptations that come to us, but they're the temptations that are common to all men. You're not going to face any temptation that some other man or woman has not faced. Amen. We all face temptations in life. And through the temptations, we learn to trust in God. Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And afterward, He was hungry. And the devil came along and tempted Him. He said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, the Word says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said that you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. The devil would come and would tempt Him and tell Him to cast himself down so the angels could bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so that every time the devil would come against Him, he would fight back with thus saith the Word of God. And so He endured the temptation. When the devil tried to get Him to bow down and worship Him, He said, you can have all the kingdoms of the world. You know, the devil uses three areas in our life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and all that's in the world. Amen. All that's in the world is of the devil. Amen. And if you love the world and the things of the world, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in you. We're going to be tried. The world is going to try to lure us. The world is going to try to entice us. The world's going to try to drag us and to cause us to fall away into some temptation. But we're not of the world. Amen. We're of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, he that's born of God overcometh the world. You can overcome temptation. You can overcome your flesh. You can overcome the lust of this world because Jesus Christ is in you. Amen. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. Then there's the test of appreciation. Some of us don't feel appreciated. Now, how many like to feel appreciated? But the devil has a way of convincing us that you're not appreciated. But why is that? Because that's the devil's business. To make you feel that you are of no worth to the kingdom of God. But let me tell you, the Word of God is on record. Amen. In proclaiming that you are precious in the sight of the Lord. You are the apple of His eye. That you are important to the kingdom of God. That God cares about you. He sees, amen, every sparrow that falls. He knows the number of the hairs on our head. And then you listen to the devil, and the devil tells you God didn't care about you. God cares about a bird that falls out of the sky. Amen. I think I'm more valuable than a bird. Amen. If God knows the number of the hairs on our head, And he knows the number of the stars in the heaven, and he even knows them by name. Now, we don't know how many stars there are. There are literally trillions and trillions of stars. We don't know the exact number because a lot of them are not even visible to the eye of man. That man hasn't developed a telescope that can see to the very end of the universe. We don't know how big the universe is. We don't know how many stars that he made. But my Bible says that God knows how many, and he knows them by name. And yet you believe the devil, amen, when he tells you that you're not important to the kingdom of God. I want you to know you're worth more than many sparrows. Amen. You belong to God. You're important. And he knows you by name. Amen. God knows your name. Hallelujah. He knows you because he's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't let the devil tell you that you're not important and you're going to be tested by your authenticity, whether you're really a child of God. If you're the genuine article, amen, the devil's going to try you and test you to see if you really are what you say you are. You're going to be tested about your attitude. Amen, because your attitude affects your altitude. Amen. Amen. Our attitude is important to God. Amen. It's important to God. Amen. That we have a proper attitude. The Bible says to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need to be thankful to God for the blessings that He gives. And we need to be careful that we are not easily provoked to wrath. Amen. The Bible tells us that those that are easily provoked, amen, the problem is their attitude. If you've got a short fuse, amen, then there's something wrong with your attitude. Amen. That we as children of God, amen, we are not yet made perfect. And that's why that God has to test us and try us. You don't really know how long your fuse is until somebody makes you mad. Amen. I learned early on in my marriage that my fuse wasn't near as long as I thought it was. I thought I was a pretty patient man. Amen. I didn't know I had so many faults. Amen. But I want you to know it was for my own benefit. It was for the glory of God. It was for the perfection of my soul. Amen. That God exposed in my life areas that I needed to work on. I didn't need to work on them before because I didn't know they were there. You know, the roof don't leak when it ain't raining. It don't mean the hole wasn't there, but I just didn't know the hole was there. There are houses in West Texas that need entire roofs on them, and they don't know it because they don't even know what rain is. Amen. Some of us, we really don't know how weak and imperfect and in need of God that we are until God, amen, exposes our weakness and God reveals our need of His grace and His mercy and His sanctification. We need to get an attitude of gratitude. Your attitude's going to be tested. God is going to test you and see where your hot button is. How many of you admit you have a hot button? You know what? Everybody in here today has a hot button. And maybe I haven't pushed it yet, but believe me, there's a hot button and people can push your hot button and you will get angry. There are some people I know that sit in church and they sit like a wooden Indian at a cigar store. But they say they're not emotional. You let them get in the Dallas traffic and get cut off at the exit they want to get off on and tell me they're not emotional. Everybody has a hot button. It's something, amen, that is our hot button. It's something in our life that we battle. There are weaknesses in our walk with God that we need the trials and the tests. We need the valleys. We need disappointments in life in order that we can find our way to put our faith in God. We're going to be tested in our obedience to God. Amen. The Bible says don't just be a sayer, but be a doer of the word. Amen. It's one thing to be a man pleaser. It's another thing to be a God pleaser. Men pleasers, they know what to say. But God pleasers, they know what to do. We're going to be tested in our servitude. Amen. In our service to the Lord. We're going to be tested in our brotherly love. Amen. Because patience is needed in mastering our flesh. The Bible tells us in Luke 21:19, and you can come to the piano. In Luke 21:19, the Bible says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." That our very salvation depends on our patience. We must patiently endure under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need patience in mastering our flesh. Amen. We need patience. Amen. In yielding our members to Christ. The Bible says the tongue is a very small member. Yes, it is. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is given to boasting. You better be careful, amen, about boasting about your own personal righteousness. You better be careful about saying, well, if I would have been there, I wouldn't have done that. You better be careful what you say. The tongue boasteth. The Bible says the tongue causes strife. Where there's no talebearer, the Bible says strife ceases. The Bible says the tongue is a fire. The tongue is uncontrollable. No man can tame the tongue. That's what my Bible says. The Bible says no man can tame the tongue. And you can tame a tiger. And you can even tame a woman, but you'll never tame a tongue. You might tame a man. But the tongue can no man tame. The only way that you can get your tongue under control. Amen. You can't do it in your flesh. You got to do it in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the tongue is a deadly poison. Poisoneth! Recently, a group poisoned some trees in a football rivalry. This 62 years of age went and poured some kind of chemical on great trees that had grown here. First of all, they would gather and they would their meetings and they would their schools, they would promote school spirit. This poison, those trees, and the last I heard, those trees had a 10% chance of survival. Let me tell you that the tongue is a world of poison, and there are some that will not survive the poison. Souls can be destroyed because of a word that's spoken. Because it's a deadly poison. God, give us grace. God, give us power to overcome. Amen. That we're going to be tried. We're going to be tested. We're going to the things of life. Do one of two things that will either destroy or it will purify. And it depends on the quality or the value of what is being tried. Fire separates the clean from the unclean, the good from the bad, the acceptable from the unacceptable. The Bible says that our faith is going to be tried as gold is tried in the fire, that we might come forth as gold. To remove the dross, God is faithful. Is your faith on trial today? Have you been tested lately? Have you discovered there's a hole in the roof? Have you discovered that there's some chinks in the armor? Have you discovered that there's some areas in your life, amen, that you're not yet complete? The only way that you can be perfect is to be tried and to be tested. If you want to be a perfect man, like unto Jesus Christ, you're going to have to go through some trials. You're going to have to go through some death. You're going to have to face some disappointments. Some things, let me tell you this in closing, some of your greatest disappointments in life will turn out to be the greatest gifts that God ever gave. I don't understand that today, because some of you have gone through some disappointments. You've gone through some hurts. You've, in your mind, suffered a loss. But believe me, sometimes our loss is really our gain. Sometimes, amen, the greatest prayer, amen, is an unanswered prayer. Amen. I'm glad God didn't answer all my prayers. Amen. Because I realize now that if God would have answered the prayer, I wanted Him to, that it would have been a disaster. It would have been a mistake. But God knows exactly me. And here is an assurance. I was not withholding any good thing from them that love Him. And so if God tells you no, just give thanks to God. Jesus, see the danger. I didn't recognize the tragedy at the end, but you were God. And you're something for my good. You knew what was saying because He knows. Would you just give thanks to the Lord today? Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Altars are always open. God is always here and available to you. You need to fall before His face. Fall on your knees and cry out to the Lord. He's a faithful God. He's able to see you through. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you're able to ask.